Fantastic job. Thank you. Let me cut through here real quickly. Okay, here we go. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Let's open our Bibles if you would please. Thank you so very much. I appreciate your spirit in chapel. But what a good song. Someone cared to bring the gospel to us. And it's only natural that we should do the same thing for others. And I hope that whatever you become in your life, whatever vocation, whatever responsibilities you have, if it's a secretary of church or if it's a school teacher, if it's a deacon or a pastor's wife or a missionary, all of us ought to be on soul patrol all the time. Ought to be looking for somebody who needs the gospel, and you show you care by witnessing to someone else about the Lord. And we're grateful for that. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Thank you for following along and getting ready quickly. And let's begin in verse number 8. Read it with me, would you please? Be not therefore of the testimony of our Lord, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Read verse 8 and 9 as well, please. Who shall? Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. For which cause I also suffer the things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And that good thing which is committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost that dwelleth in us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you very much for the chance to be here on a Tuesday. And what a humbling honor it is for me to stand in this place with our young friends that are in training and developing their life, their life's partner, their skill sets. I pray that God, you'd give them integrity of heart. I pray that God, you would give them curiosity to know what is in your heart for them. Help them do the will of God. Help them have a sense of urgency. And help me to have all those things as well. And I pray you please bless our time together in chapel today. Thank you for bringing such wonderful servants of Christ, Brother and Mrs. Stedman, the donors, and of course, Brother Finley and Brother Leonard. And Lord, just thank you for these dear, dear people. I pray that you'd please bless them as they go back and get in the trenches to do what you called them to do. I pray you'd bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a quick reminder, there are two books of the Bible that God chose to include in the script of the Holy Scriptures to the man Timothy. I don't think there's just two letters that Paul wrote Timothy, but I think two of them God put in the Scriptures. By the way, I think you would be very wise to occasionally write letters to those who are looking to you for leadership. Write them letters. And your bus children, every once in a while it's good to text them. I think you should text them. I think you could call them. But I think it'd be good for you to come back to your dorm room on a Monday and send a letter so they get it by Saturday. It'll mean something to them. It'll be on their refrigerator or on their mirror in their room, or it'll be something they'll remember. And the Apostle Paul wrote 13 letters that God for sure included in the Scriptures, and 14th if he happened to have written the book of Hebrews. But God wanted us to have this. And so he kind of gives us a little insight. You know the book of 1 Timothy and those six principles. Let's review them real quickly. Chapter 1, keep your doctrine. Chapter 2, make prayer your priority. You need to make prayer your priority. Now, that'll be done on purpose because it's not easy to do that. Chapter 3, you must be spiritually reproduction. You have to continue to spiritually reproduce those around you. And win the lost, disciple the saved. And, of course, you have the qualifications for pastors and those who help their pastors. And everyone that's a pastor now or helping their pastor now in a Christ-honoring way has two things in common. Someone led them to Christ, and someone helped them grow in Christ. And you precious girls, you will never pastor a church, but you could win a pastor to the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about this young man, Jose, that came to know Christ as Savior, led to Christ by two ladies. But one day, and he's giving out tracts and wanting to win other people to Christ, and there'll be fruit on their account for them. And everybody needs to continue to win and disciple someone. If you're not working with someone, you need to be working with them. I remember Sunday night after church, had the joy to go through a discipleship lesson. Probably Saturday nights, I'm just as tired as I've been all week long. And sometimes I don't always feel like sitting down and going through a lesson on sanctification or a lesson on the local church or on prayer or on the Holy Ghost. But boy, it's important that you spend time with people. And people grow whenever they get time with you. And you can't leapfrog time. It's important that we do that to spiritually reproduce people. And then I think in chapter 4 is the example of a godly walk, being a good example. And the reason we oftentimes say that is because our sermons whisper, but our life is loud. What you say is one thing, and if people don't trust you, they're not going to trust what you tell them. But you are always on trial. You live in a glass house, and you say, I don't like that. It's tough. That's the only way you can make an eternal impact. You can influence people from afar and from a distance and in a mystique way, but you cannot make an impact on someone's life far away. You'll have to get up close. They'll need to see you. Apostle Paul said it this way, I have showed you and I have taught you publicly in church and house to house in your homes. That means you got up close with them. And that has to happen. Chapter 5 is relationships and responsibilities. And boy, you have to negotiate relationships. You're never going to be the servant of God that He wants you to be if you're not able to get along with people. And nothing skews and messes up our spiritual vision quite like interpersonal problems with people. Some people, drama is their life. Strife is their life. They always have someone that they're ticked off with, someone that's getting under their nerves, and they focus on that. And of course, the Lord tells us, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man can see the Lord. If you're fighting with the person in your lane to the right or left, all you're doing is losing speed in the race that God's caused you to go in. And you're losing focus on Jesus. You can't see the Lord if you're fighting with other people. Last night at the end of a service, had a precious lady come, and she's sick. And she asked us to anoint her with oil and pray over her. And I always love it when someone does that. They take God up on His option. And, you know, the Bible says, if you're sick, call for the elders. Let them pray over them. Anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. I'm so glad she did it. But before you do that, you have to evaluate, am I right with God? The prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if they have sinned, all sin is all against God. It's first against God. So we have to clear up our relationship with God. The next verse says, confess your faults one to another. And a fault line is a break in the earth. Confess your fault. You got a problem with someone? Agree. Yes, God, I do. I don't like that person. They aggravate me. They get on my nerves. Okay? What should you do? He said, confess with God you got a problem with them. And then pray for them that you can be healed. I looked in the eyes of that lady and her husband. I said, look, it's worthless for us to pray over you if you're not willing to address any sin that you know is against God that you're not confessed. And if there's any person you have a problem with, I want to pray over you, and I want to make sure I'm right with these areas. But you need to be right with these areas because you're the one who's seeking healing, especially. And it's important that we learn to manage relationships with wisdom. And then lastly is of course, financial management and making sure you manage your finance as well by working diligently, associating carefully, living contentedly and frugally, and then giving very generously. And distributing to those who have need. It's very important that we learn those principles. Well, in 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy we probably think was written while Paul was in that rented home where he could have 2 years really of peace before he went home to be with the Lord. God gave him, it was still a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he didn't have it bad. He wasn't in a jail cell. He was in a rented home. He could have friends come and see him. He was able to write the book of Colossians and Ephesians and Philemon, probably 1 Timothy. And Philippians, as he got visitors from those churches, he would write them letters and send them back to them. And so it was good for him. And he wrote the book of 1 Timothy probably from that rented house. 2 Timothy, however, was written probably across the street from the Colosseum where they would let animals go and attack people and cheer them. Violence, of course, was applauded at that time. Across the street, there were many things going on. Of course, criminals inside the Mamertine prison there. There, it was the fall of the year. Temperatures were dropping, much like now. He had left his coat in Troas, and he asked if he would go get that coat for him. And he writes to him, and he said, would you please come quickly and come before winter? And he wants you to bring John Mark to come, and He said, bring my coat and make sure you bring the Bible and then bring some other reading materials. By the way, it shows that Paul was a lifelong learner. He learned his entire life. And here he was just a few weeks. He said, I've already been to court once and the Lord delivered me out of the mouth of the lion. And he said, I don't know how long I'm going to be. He said, I know this, the time of my departure is at hand. That means it's coming up pretty quick. I'm getting ready to go to heaven. I know that. So hurry up and get here before winter. And he challenged him to come. We don't know if he came or not. But he did get this letter, and God put this letter in the Bible for us. There's four chapters. Each of them have a major theme. One, the first theme is a personal challenge to Timothy, and that's where we're going to spend our time today. The second theme is a practical challenge for Timothy. The third theme is a perilous day challenge for Timothy. He's going to describe the conduct and the actions of many of God's servants in that time. And it is selfish sins, it's sexual sins, it's searching and ever learning sins, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Just they're avoiding the truth like the elephant in the living room. But it's going to be stopped and tells them what to do. And then chapter 4 is that parting challenge. We're talking about chapter 1. Let's go back if we can to verse number 8. Of course, in chapter 1, he also references his grandmother, Lois, his mother Eunice, and their influence on his life. He references his ordination. Whenever Paul put his hands on him and told him, don't neglect the gift that was given to you, the gift to lead for God. Don't neglect it. Make sure that you stir up that gift and keep it strong. He tells him personally, don't be afraid. God did not give you those spirits of fear. By the way, fear is a spirit. It doesn't come from God. When you have moments of anxiety, that is not God-given. God is not the author of confusion, and he's certainly not the author of fear. So when you have anxious moments, you got to really quickly turn your care and make it prayer. And take your fear and say, Lord, I trust you. What's very good for you to learn to say that out loud. I wonder how many times I have said that in the privacy of my own life and with God. Just to verbalize, I get a problem that's just so much bigger than me. I don't know what to do. And sometimes I've just learned to say, Lord, I trust you with this problem. I trust you with this need. And I want you to say it with me real quickly. Say, Lord, I trust you. You ready? Lord, say it one more time, would you? Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. And young people, what grace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we have to bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in. And one of those prayers is, Lord, I trust you. I'm in a mess. I've sinned. I need your help. Lord, I've got this problem. Why did this happen? Why did I have this circumstance happen to me? I don't understand it. And that's not unusual. There's many things that happen in my life, in your life, in Miss Linda's life, in your teacher's life, in your mom and dad's life. You don't understand. Everything is not clear now. Now we kind of see through a glass darkly. So we need to exercise faith in God and trust him. And boy, sit in your dorm room tonight, you're like, oh man, I can't believe this. It feels like my whole life's falling apart. Trust the Lord. Get on your knees and say, God, I trust you to help me. I thought by now I would have someone I was dating and someone would love me and date me, and it's not happened yet. Look, don't get in despair. Trust the Lord. Say, God, I trust you. Please direct me. Please help me. Very important. And Paul told him, God did not give you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. But he begins to challenge him about something I want to challenge you about real quickly. We're beginning verse number 8, would you please? Verse number 8, the Bible says, be not therefore, after he tells him, don't be afraid, because fear will rob you of power, love, and a sound mind. You'll start thinking, you have stinking thinking, you won't know how to love people, and you won't have the power to do what basic things you should do, because fear paralyzes you from confidence and from loving. And people who are insecure are not good lovers. People who are always fearful, they're always self-conscious. They have a hard time seeing out the window. They're looking in the selfie. And when you're afraid, you're very conscious of am I going to be okay? Am I going to be okay? It's all about you. And fear paralyzes you from the ability to do what you should do, to love the way you should love, and then to think correctly, a sound mind. But then verse number 8, he says, look, I want to challenge you, Timothy. And here's why I think this is very important for you today. I want you to listen. Because fast forward 5 years from today, you are some of the best young people on the planet. But some of you are going to be in the weeds of the world. Some of you are going to be in the weeds of the contemporary music and movement. I don't want that to happen, and I'm not here to, I don't even know who you are. I've been amazed at people who've decided, you know what, the things I used to believe, I don't believe them anymore. And they've given heed to seducing spirits. They drink in the Kool-Aid of the doctrines of the devils, and they've come out now with, like, I'm so close to God. I've just never been so close to God. They've got a martini in their hand saying that. Just me and God are just like this. I just have such freedom now. Something's wrong there. That's a lie and hypocrisy. But the worst part is the last part, whenever their conscience is seared with a hot iron. Now nothing convicts them. The preacher can preach like he used to 10 years ago, and they would walk the aisle in response to the Holy Spirit, not to the pastor. But now they stand there and go, what time is it? It doesn't affect them anymore. The things that used to the Spirit of God, all of a sudden, it's just their conscience is seared. But listen, ma'am, sir, you do not want that day to come to you. I've often said to the Lord, God, please, I don't want you to have to yell at me. I want to hear that still, small voice. And I want to be as sensitive to every spiritual impulse you would give me. Now, I'm not always that way, but that's what I want to be. I don't want to ever get to the place where sin doesn't bother me. That what I saw on Facebook doesn't bother me. That looking at something that's questionable doesn't bother me. I can handle that now. I don't have any conviction about that. Being around alcohol, I don't want to ever be a place where that doesn't bother me. I'm glad that when I listen to something that's questionable, the Spirit of God says, John, I don't think that's best. And I can say, okay, that's a good decision right there. I don't need to have that. I can go into heaven without that. I'm not going to let that become. And the Bible says to young people, and of course in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 22, flee youthful lust. One thing that you are that I'm not is you're youthful. Okay? I'm old. Okay? You can know one thing about me. I'm not going to die young. I'm an old man. And you know, there are some things that are going on in this society that doesn't have an appeal to me. It's not a lust for me. I don't really care. I don't even understand what they're saying in the song. And my 56-year-old ears can't understand what is being said. And what I do hear, I don't like it. But to you, it's a little different. There are youthful lusts that you need to kind of keep it clean and run right so you can run light and keep it right. You've got to be careful. A little bit more so than maybe some of, and by the way, we always have to guard our own heart. At 56 years old, I can still sin and fall into all kinds of wickedness. So I have to be careful. But there are some youthful things that you're more prone to do, and the devil wants you to pick up those grenades when you're young. And strap you, put those on you, and you don't get rid of them. By the way, when they start coming to you, you got to get rid of those things. Questionable music, movies, bad friends, ugly text, nasty talk. Oh, hey, no, I'm not doing that. Because if you get used to that, you'll just wait till you're in a youth group somewhere and then detonate you and you blow yourself up and everybody else around you. You'll wait till you're a precious mom somewhere and you picked up some stupid habit and song and activities when you were young and then blow up your whole kids and your family and your marriage. You wait till you're doing something for God in a different location and God's using you in a mission field and then there's no accountability and then detonates you and blow you up and blow up your family, blow up the ministry, hurt the name of Christ, hurt people that have been supporting you in mission field. That's exactly His plan. You've got to be careful about that. Well, another thing we have to be careful about is the stigma that comes from being a godly Christian. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? Okay? The longer you live holy and righteously in this wicked world, the more different you'll have to become. And it's not always fun being different. We want to blend in. We don't want to stand out. And Apostle Paul, what information he knew, I do not know. But he challenges Timothy to don't be ashamed of me, even though I'm in jail. Don't be ashamed of me because I preach the gospel. You know why I'm in jail. You know, I think sometimes as men who are young leaders in the Christianity, they kind of get, they want to distance themselves from Brother Hiles. They want to distance themselves from Tom Malone. They want to distance themselves from a Lee Robertson. They want to distance themselves from a Clarence Sexton or a Brother Paul Chapel. Some folks who've been out in the road doing the same, the right thing, the right way, for the right reason for a long time, they want to like, oh, no, I'm not with Fugit. You know, I don't know. Now, look, these folks, and by the way, let me just say to you something real quickly. Christianity is a lot bigger than you think it is, and it's a lot smaller than you think it is. And everybody doesn't have to dot their I's exactly how I dot my I's and cross my T's exactly for me to love them if they're in the household of faith. Now, I may not be able to serve alongside with them in the same way, but listen, don't leave your criticism to yourself. Keep your big mouth shut, especially when you're young and dumb. Your opinions, really, you need to be careful. It's called pride. And God resists the pride. I don't know about you, but I don't want God resisting. I need His grace, not His obstinance. Be careful about that. But He says here, Timothy, I know when you hear I'm in jail that a lot of people are saying a lot of bad things about me. He said, but please don't be ashamed of my chain. Don't be ashamed. Look at verse 8. I've put you there three times and haven't read either time. Okay, so here we go. Let's look at it again. How about this time? Let's do it. Are you ready? It says, be not therefore thou ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But be thou partakers of the afflictions of what? I don't know about you, but I don't like that sentence. Be thou a partaker of the afflictions, the hardness, the difficulties, the byproducts of getting the gospel out, according to the power of who? What did God do? Verse number 9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Verse number 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, we now know who God is. He sent His Son, who hath abolished death. What did He do? He abolished death. He hath brought life. He that hath the Son hath immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. Verse number 12, would you mind reading it with me? For the which cause I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him. See, several times in chapter 1, verses 8 through 12, Paul tells Timothy, Timothy, don't be embarrassed to be a soul-winning, holy Christian. Don't try to blend in. It's okay. You're going to need to have inner man strength to stand out. I'm not talking about being a nerd or an idiot, someone who's a big mouth, or someone who all of a sudden you bring all this pain on you because you just run your mouth when you shouldn't, you don't exercise wisdom. But I'm talking about being a godly man. And you know, I think Paul knew that Timothy struggled. He said, look, I know I'm in jail, but you know why I'm here. I'm here because I preach the gospel. Sometimes pastors and great leaders go through great trials because of the difficulties of their commitment. They're getting the gospel out. The devil attacks them a little bit more. And sometimes even some negative things happen to them that you don't know. They're kind of a head scratcher. You don't understand. Be careful in regards to how your opinion of them is. And Paul, no doubt the scuttlebutt, the gossip of the day was saying, you know, yeah, if he's all that, how come he can't stay out of jail? He's a jailbird. I mean, everywhere he goes, he either started a revival or a riot, usually a riot. Ha, ha, ha. You know, they were negative about him. He even references a couple guys in this chapter who did him much evil, and they spread a lot of bad rumors about him, and they said some ugly things. And yet, all these people, Timothy in particular, Paul led him to Christ. You know, you think about your pastor. It would be a good day for you to sit down and write a note to your pastor and his wife. He's the reason that you got to go on your bus route. He's the reason you got to go to camp and youth conference. He's the reason you carried the burden of getting people the gospel of Christ and taking care of the financial challenges to even do that. You might want to thank him for that. You might want to say to your pastor, I'm thankful that you're my pastor. Thank you for what you've done for the Lord. Thank you for the role that you carry. I'm in college today in part because of your faithfulness to the Lord. And be careful. You say, well, my pastor's like 70 years old and I'm learning all kinds of stuff in college here. Your pastor is very smart. Your pastor is very wise and he's worthy of your allegiance and love and encouragement. Regardless of who he is. He says, Timothy, don't be ashamed of the afflictions I'm going through. But being partakers of affliction. Realize it's not going to be a walk in the park serving the Lord. The old brother Lester Olof said, it's a battlefield, brother. It's not a recreation room. It's a fight. It's not a game. Run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. And he's telling him, be a partakers of this. And know it. It's about getting the people the gospel. You know, people who get the gospel to people are going to fight a little more challenging battles. If you want to have an easier life in this life for the next 40 years or so, you have a little easier, just don't get engaged with gospel work. Just get involved with just programs and concerts. Learn how to play the instrument better, but don't go soul winning. But you start getting involved with getting people saved and getting in the weeds of discipling them, you're going to have some opposition. Where there's movement, there'll be some friction. And Paul tells Timothy, don't try to blend in. Be a partakers of the afflictions. And know this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able. By the way, the thing that kept Apostle Paul going and will keep you going and me going too is a focus on the person of Jesus. If you know whom you believe and who you're serving for, if you're serving others for a kick in the pants or a pat in the back, you're going to quit. If you're serving just so you can be acknowledged and appreciated, you're not going to do very well. You're going to have to aim a little higher than that. What does Hebrews say? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I want to challenge you to listen. Maybe consider today, young people, reading 2 Timothy 1, 1 through 12. Read it maybe 10 times over the next 24 hours. Just read it. You don't have to meditate too much on it until you kind of feel like you got it. And apply that to your life. Remember your mom and your grandma, your dad, your mom, like he told him, remember Lois and Eunice. Remember the calling of God upon your life. Remember that whenever you're asked to associate with someone who loved God and lived for the Lord, don't be ashamed of them. People who've gone through difficult times, oftentimes when people go through difficult times with the gospel, some of us back away and say, hey, man, if he hadn't have done that, he wouldn't have had that problem. Sometimes I think we sometimes do that. He said, don't be afraid of my change. And focus on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And thank you for these precious young people. Work in their hearts. And we're not going to have a formal invitation this morning, but I pray that, God, you would visit every one of us. Some of us, we want to cast off our dear pastor and his wife and mom and dad and say, that's them. This is 2023. And I'm going to set my path differently. I hope you'll help us to not get bored with the basics and keep doing the right thing the right way for the right reason for a whole lifetime. Help me to do that. Help Linda to do that. I pray you'd help our students, our seniors that are getting ready to transition out of their college life into a place of ministry. Help them to dig down deep and see this is the way. I'm going to walk in this way. Not going to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not going to be ashamed of men and women who have continued on for the Lord. I want to make sure that I pick good friends and good leaders and get to the great men who've walked with you. And I pray, God, you would please help us to keep our mind and focused upon Jesus. We ask this in your precious name.